May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So my name is Alan Bintrup, and I work on Bishop Waldo's staff in Columbia. And so one of the gifts of my role is that I, in normal times, travel around the diocese, and I'm in a different place every Sunday. For the last year, that's been pretty limited. I've Zoomed in to churches or Facebook Lived in to churches around the diocese. And I've done some filling in at places, but you'd be amazed, clergy actually haven't taken a lot of vacations over the last year because clergy have been trying to figure things out, just like teacher. Everyone's been trying to figure things out. This is the first time I've come up to the upstate in 13 months to be with a congregation on a Sunday morning. And so, number one, thank you for having me. It's a joy to be here. But number two, I actually had to set an alarm on Sunday morning. And here I am, sleeping peacefully, and then that alarm, we all know what it's like. You're used to not waking up as early as you normally do, but then you hear that beeping. Or in my case, it's something called ripples, which I don't know what it means because it doesn't sound like ripples. But that's the name of my sound. And it jars you out of your sleep. And I was thinking about that as I was reading the scripture today. But even then, this morning, I was a little jarred out of my sleep in a conversation I had right before the service. I'm not going to name names or put them on the spot, but someone tried to stump the clergy. And asked a question about why they were kind of stirred and awoken up a little bit. And maybe you've noticed it last week or 2 weeks ago if you did the same Eucharistic prayer, and I encourage you to listen for it in a little bit. But y'all are using a different Eucharistic prayer these last couple of weeks, and it's from Enriching Our Worship, which is a different book in the Episcopal tradition, not our prayer book. And when we say the response that we're all used to, that we've been saying for 40 years since this prayer came out, we said, it is right to give him thanks and praise. What y'all been saying these last couple weeks, what we'll say today is it is right to give our thanks and praise. And it's amazing. I hadn't really thought about it. But y'all have noticed, maybe, one little word can make you pay attention to the whole thing. One little word can stir us from the slumber of going through the motions. Now, not that any of us just go from rote memory and say these prayers and read these words, just going through the motions. Maybe it's just me that does that. But it's amazing what one little change will do to stir us. A couple weeks ago, my family and I traveled back home to Texas. We're all vaccinated, my family's vaccinated, and so we thought we'd go home to visit my mom and my in-laws and do those things we haven't been able to do as much. You know, my mom lives in the same house that I was born in, my sisters were born in, we've lived there, my parents have lived there 50 years. The neighborhood hasn't changed that much. But when you're used to 50 years of this store being in this place, when that store's no longer there, or when you're used to 50 years of this road ending here, and they decided to make this road a one-way and you can't go, it's that same thing, right? Whether it's one little word in our prayers or whether it's a whole road that's been shifted in a different direction, as was the case when I was trying to find something in Fort Worth. These little changes make us realize that a big change has happened and we just haven't maybe been paying attention. And so I think that's what our gospel story today is getting at. The disciples, right? This is the second week in a row we have the disciples locked in a room. They're scared, they're frightened, terrified. Get that rich language of these are folks who gave up everything. These are folks who quit jobs, left families, gave up status, maybe gave up money, gave up the future that they thought they had. They gave up everything to follow this guy for 3 years. And then that guy was killed. And then that guy was buried. And then that guy was sealed away in a tomb. And so you have these disciples who had given up everything, and it was all ripped away. Everything they hoped for, everything they dreamed about, everything they were promised. Jesus made promises. And for these disciples, it seems it's all been taken away. So of course they locked themselves in a room. But then they were terrified when Easter happened. When that Easter story happened, they were startled. They were woken up. I don't really get those feelings with the Easter story much anymore. Because for us, for me, we hear the Easter story. We all know about the women running to the tomb and finding it empty. We all know about the angel saying, "Why are you looking here? He is not here. He is risen." We all know these stories. They're seared in our minds. And so what can be shocking about that? And so I think it's stories like this where we can try to put ourselves in the position of the disciples. We can try to take ourselves back there. These folks were so dejected. These folks were so disappointed. These folks were so depressed. These folks were so lost that all they could do was hide and lock themselves in a room. But then they were amazed. And so I think this gospel serves as a reminder to us that if we're not amazed, if we're not shocked, if we're not frankly a little terrified of the Easter message, then maybe we've just spiritualized the whole thing. Maybe we've just flannel boarded the whole thing to where it's just a story we tell children that's nice. Maybe we haven't really taken it to heart. Because sometimes I think we've sanitized the Easter message, the Easter story, so much that it just becomes about flowers and bunnies and chocolate, rather than a life-changing, earth-shaking, upside-down, turning story of a dead guy who's no longer dead, of someone locked behind a tomb who now walks through locked doors. That's the message the disciples received in that room. That's the message that compelled the disciples to leave their fear, to leave their confusion, to leave their desire to be safe, to leave it all in that upper room, and to go out, as Jesus says today, to the ends of the world. It's not a safe, sanitized, happy Easter message. It's a message that the dead will live again, that the dead has risen again. And it's something that maybe like we do with the Eucharistic prayer or driving down a street we've driven down millions of times, that we just think we know where the story's going. We think we know the story is ended when this guy died on the cross, was laid in a tomb and sealed with a stone. We think we know how that story goes. The disciples thought they knew how that story went, and so they hid and they were scared. But something happened that compelled them out of that room, compelled them to go out and to proclaim this good news to the entire world, that compelled them to go out and live their life and do things and teach things and heal people and work to change the world so much that nearly every one of them got killed doing it. They locked themselves in that room that night for safety Jesus Christ rose from the dead, walked through a locked door, and told them, "You cannot be safe and follow me. You cannot protect yourself and follow me. You cannot hide behind being polite. You cannot hide behind being likable. You cannot hide behind whatever you think you can hide behind and follow me," Jesus says. And Jesus says the same thing to us. I visit lots of churches, and I'm privileged to hear the wonderful work that churches around our diocese are doing, and I love it all. But every congregation in their own way, they find the ways that they resist going another step further, that they resist doing that one more thing, because what will someone think? I do it. There are things that I sometimes feel called to do as a follower of Jesus that I'm like, that's not what nice people do. What will my mom think? Right. Let's be frank, a lot of it is, what will my mom think? What will people say about me if they know that I actually believe this to be true? What will people say about me if I stand up for those people who need to be stood up for? What will people say if I speak out for those people who need to be spoken out for? What will people say about me if I live my life like I actually believe this matters? And so we come in here. We sing our songs. Well, it's COVID. We don't sing our songs. Maybe someday we'll sing our songs again. We pray our prayers. We hear the scripture. We gather together in communion. We confess our sins. We proclaim what we believe as Christians. And then we go out there and we do what? If you're like me, you go out there and you get timid. If you're like me, you go out there and you try to be liked. If you're like me, you go out there and you fall short. What does Jesus call us to do? Now, it's easy for me to talk about this because my title includes the words evangelism and mission, right? So, like, I talk to people all the time about how we go out there and share with people the good news that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and loves them and wants to be in relationship with them. That's evangelism. I get to talk to people about how we go out there and participate in the work that God is doing to reconcile and heal and redeem the world. That is mission. And we are doing that. But we can do so much more. We have to do so much more. I have to do so much more. Because Jesus doesn't say to the disciples that night, go out there and just do what you feel comfortable with. Go out there and do what you think fills up your day. Go out there and do what you think you can do. He says, go out there and change the world, is what he says. Go out there and give it all, he says. Go out there and don't stop until everyone knows that I am risen from the dead, that I'm a real person, that I eat fish, that I have wounds, that I walk. Go out there and tell people this is real and this is and that this matters. So we all have our role to play. We all can't do everything, of course, I know that. Although I'm type A enough to think that maybe actually I can do everything. And, you know, that's for me and my therapist and the people who hold me to my rest to talk about. But there's so much more that I can do. And I think if we're all honest, there's so much more that we can and should do. And what stops us? What are those rooms that we lock ourselves in? What are those doors that we hide behind? Doors of fear? Doors of wanting to be liked? Doors of not wanting to risk too much because what if I lose more than I'm willing to lose? Doors of not wanting to cause trouble? Doors of not wanting to stir the pot? Those are not options left to us if we are to follow Jesus. Because for Jesus, we learn from this story, doors do not matter. He walks through them. We learn in this story that for Jesus, doors do not matter because he breaks them open and compels, orders, forces the disciples to go out, to risk their life. Frankly, Jesus knows that the disciples are going to leave this room, and within a matter of years, they're all essentially going to end up murdered for what they're doing. But Jesus still says to do it. And Jesus says to us, go out there. Proclaim good news to the poor. Proclaim release to the captives. Proclaim that God is reconciling the entire world. Proclaim that Jesus Christ has risen again, and it actually matters. And Jesus knows it may cost us things. It may cost us safety, security, likability, money, time, friends, family. But we're called to follow Jesus. Like those disciples, we can't hide behind doors that we like to keep locked. Because when we try to do that, Jesus walks right through those doors. Jesus stands right there with us. And Jesus tells us, we have to go. We have to leave what we think we know and go out into a world that desperately needs to know this Easter message. It's scary. It was scary for the disciples. It's scary for us. But the world needs to know this story. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ has defeated death. Jesus Christ has left our sin, our shame, our need for power, our need for security, our need for division. Jesus Christ has left it all from the grave. And we proclaim it every Sunday during Easter. Heck, I wish we could proclaim it every Sunday year round. But I'm an Episcopal priest and I have to follow the prayer book and it says we can only do things certain times. But we proclaim every Sunday in our words. And Jesus calls us to proclaim every Sunday with our actions. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.